morning, we're returning back to the Kingdom Treasure series. This is a series that we started a few weeks ago, taking a look at different passages of Scripture and the Gospels where Jesus is offering some pretty deep spiritual truth about what the Kingdom of God is like and what it is that He wants us to do to please Him. The first week that we did this series, we uncovered that the Kingdom of God is like a treasure that's buried in the ground. The second week, we saw that the Kingdom of God can begin small and insignificant, but when placed in the hearts of faithful people, it can make a big impact. And so today, we're going to search through the Scriptures again for a new kingdom truth. Out front in the foyer, as you came in this morning, there are some plants out there, some flowers that the ladies have their ministry to each other, where they have their prayer partners and they give each other gifts. And a couple of them, it looks like, have decided that their prayer partner would love to have some flowers. And so they have these beautiful flower arrangements. One of them is pretty large, but you can see them on your way out. But you all know what plants look like, right? Harold plants tomatoes every year, right? You're probably getting ready to plant some again.
Yeah.
But they're pretty impressive. You see, tomato plants have vibrant green leaves if they're healthy and growing as they should. And they produce these bright red tomatoes. And it's hard to believe that the plant, and sometimes you get the starters that are already grown a little bit, they've already made a shoot, but they start out as a small seed that's placed in the ground. Those flowers, those nice arrangements that are out there, those plants that are out there, started out as a seed. And it's hard to believe that this plant began as a small seed that was placed in the ground. Before it had any roots, before it had a stem, or these trees had branches, leaves, or any kind of fruit, it was nothing more than a tiny seed. It takes a lot of time, it takes patience to see this kind of growth take place, and it takes the right kind of soil and the right conditions to have this harvest from a tomato plant. The scripture that we visit today has a lot to do with plants. Our kingdom treasure is found in a parable or story that Jesus tells a group of people in Matthew chapter 13, verse 31 and 32. The Bible says this. It says, He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. And though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come perch in its branches. As you read the New Testament, you begin to realize that agricultural illustrations, farming illustrations, are used over and over again. And that's because a large number of those that Jesus was talking to and that he spoke to during his life were farmers. And Jesus uses a farming motif to teach this spiritual truth that we're talking about today. The first thing that you need to know is that a mustard seed is incredibly small. As the Bible says, it is the smallest seed. Only 1 or 2 millimeters. Now think about that. And Greta told me and made sure I knew this week that I have Shrek hands, so I don't really want to use my hands to measure. But 1 to 2 millimeters, that's not very much, is it? Maybe the width of your fingernail? I don't know. I have Shrek fingernails, so I don't know whether that's too thick or not. But you get the idea. It's very small. And so as it would be placed in the soil, imagine placing that in the ground as you're tilling up the ground. It would disappear in the dirt, wouldn't it? You wouldn't be able to see it probably with your eyes. Even with my glasses on, I probably wouldn't be able to see it. It would simply disappear. But after a short time, that seed would sprout. And it would begin to grow. And it would burst through the surface of the dirt. And it would grow into a very large plant. Some mustard plants can grow to be over 6 feet tall. The text says that it would become so large in the garden that birds would come to perch in its branches. The kingdom of God is a seed. It begins as a small entrance into your life. And Jesus tells his listeners that this is what the kingdom of God is like. He says it's something that grows over time when planted in the right environment. This kingdom is a treasure that begins tiny. It is embodied in the single person of Jesus before it is replicated into the disciples and eventually millions of people worldwide. It begins in a tiny location in the Middle East with Jesus Christ, and now it is going global. This church was established in 1871. It's over 150 years old. And when it began, there were less than 25 people that began this congregation. And for 100 years, it was a thriving, and still continues to be a thriving, but it had went from 20 to 150, 300 maybe at its most. But it's always continued to keep reaching out into the community. A small place of worship has grown into a congregation that's making a huge difference in our community, and not only in our community, but in the state, region, and in the world. The smallest action can grow into a major kingdom impact. The tiniest gift can become a great blessing. A little bit of faith can grow into faithful obedience. The kingdom is like a seed, and it grows when it's planted in the right environment. And there's actually another passage of Scripture where Jesus tells another story about the seeds of the kingdom, and that's in Matthew chapter 13, verses 3 through 9. The Bible says this: that same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. And then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. And as they were scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. And still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. The story begins with a farmer who is going out to sow seed in his field. The seed in this story is incredibly valuable. If you think about it, a seed, any seed, is an encapsulated promise. It's a promise that there will be some fruit that will come. It's chock full of the necessary pieces for new life. Everything that's needed for a plant is contained, the DNA of that seed. A seed is full of potential. Each and every seed, think about this, that a farmer scatters has the potential to produce life. A farmer would go out into the field and reach into a satchel and take a handful of seed and broadcast it across the ground. This farmer seems to have had little concern over where he threw the seed and where it fell. As the story begins, the listeners would have been shocked to hear where the seeds end up. You would probably hear gasps from the crowd because this seed is the farmer's livelihood. If these seeds don't take root and they don't grow, potentially his family doesn't eat. Potentially he has nothing to sell. Some seed fell on a beaten path and was eaten by birds. Some fell on rocky soil and began to grow, only to be scorched by the sun. Some fell among the thorns and were squinched out to be choked by the weeds. And things don't look good for the farmer until the final location where the seed fell. And some of this seed that is sown falls on fertile soil, ground ready to receive the seeds and allow them to take root and grow strong. In fact, these seeds produce 160 and 30 times more than what was sown. And Jesus ends by saying this. He says, whoever has ears, let them hear. In other words, don't miss the depth of the meaning of this story. The kingdom is like seed, grown and sown generously to take root and grow. And the truth is kingdom treasure. Jesus goes on to explain the meaning of the story. God is always looking to grow his kingdom. Always looking to grow his kingdom. Every person has a heart that consists of varying types of soil. Some places the kingdom seed can grow, and other places it cannot. In Matthew 13, verses 18 through 23, the Bible says this. Do I have that?
Yep, you do.
Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. He tells them, when anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed that's sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word. But the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth and choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. I want you to hold that seed you were given and that you know about, that seed that God has placed in your hand. The seed of the gospel is being sown. And like a farmer with a seed, I'm humbled to scatter the good news of the kingdom this morning, just like in the story that Jesus tells. The seed is sown, and it has the same potential for life as what Jesus was talking about during this scripture passage. The same ability to produce a crop. But according to the story, some seeds don't get the chance to take root and grow because of the soil they fall in. The parsonage yard has been a struggle in different every year, it seems like. There's always a bare spot somewhere in the yard, right? Anybody else have a problem with that in their yard, with just this one spot that just doesn't seem to want to grow grass? And I just keep going and buying, you know, seed and throwing it on there, and fertilizer and doing everything I can. But I've had to work hard to grow grass in that back area because it's so wet and clay-covered. And in some parts of the yard, the seed sprouted and grew easily, and other places it did nothing at all. But I noticed these different responses had everything to do with the soil that landed it. You know, if there's a big puddle of water, it's not going to grow, right? Because there's too much water. If it's full of hard clay, it's not going to be able to permeate into the soil. Its roots aren't going to be able to take. And Jesus is teaching that same hard, that impact, that the truth of the gospel has on our lives has everything to do with the kind of heart condition that we have. Some of our hearts this morning are not conducive to that tiny seed of God's grace coming into your life. Some of our hearts are very rich soil that are ready to receive the truth of God's love. And the third point that we have is that it's not really a problem with the seed. The gospel has always been the gospel. Jesus has always been Jesus. The problem is with the soil. You know, you're probably, Fred and Alan, you guys are probably going through all kinds of effort right now to get the soil ready to take seed, aren't you? You're out there plowing and tilling and doing everything you can to get all the obstructions out of the way, to get that ground just to the right place, that when you put the seed in it, that it'll be able to have a fertile place to grow. And they'll spend, and you all, you know, we're getting ready, I'm sure, to be planting flowers for long somewhere around the parsonage.
Yes, you are.
Yeah, that's what I figured. But we'll be out there, we'll be digging holes, we'll be buying all kinds of special soil, right, with nutrients and all that good stuff, and putting it on there. Do you do that to yourself when you get ready to come to church on Sunday morning? Do you prepare your soil to be ready to hear the word? Are you ready to hear what God has to tell you today? You work awful hard to get those flowers to grow. We've really trimmed up, you know, trim all those bushes and make everything look really nice. You you really have spent a lot of time and effort to get those fields ready for the corn or the tomatoes or whatever, the potatoes or whatever it is that you're going to plant. As the farmer sows some of these seeds, they fall on a beaten path. Jesus describes the heart as the one who does not understand the good news it's given. They don't understand. There are people that I speak to on a daily basis that don't understand the grace that God has given to me. They don't understand the message. Their life is so full of pain and struggle and strife, and they can't understand how God could want them to be in the kingdom of God. The feeling here is that some people who are given the good news of the kingdom have no idea what to do with it. How do you apply it to this situation? How do I make sense out of the fact that my mom or my dad has cancer, but yet there's a loving God? How do I make sense of all that? The person is unconcerned with the things of God. Maybe that's you. You've heard the things of God discussed so many times, you've lost count, but you just don't know what it all means. What's God's guidance in my life? The person doesn't understand God's work because of ignorance, but because of disregard. For so long, you've neglected to acknowledge God, and in doing so, you've become hardened like a beaten path. Your heart has become calloused. How many of you know guitar players? You know, if you play the guitar all the time, what happens to your fingers? They become calloused, don't they? On the tip of your fingers, there was hardened skin that no longer allows them to feel the pain of playing those steel guitar strings. And so they're able to press those strings for playing music. The first type of heart that Jesus discusses is a very dangerous one. Most of the time, this person has heard the right things, but they push them out. They push them away enough times that they're no longer familiar with the conviction that the Holy Spirit makes in their life. They're numb. The outcome here is that when the seed falls, it's stolen away by the evil one so quickly because it's unable to take root at all. Other seed falls on rocky soil, and Jesus describes this as a heart that has heard the good news of the gospel. They even responded to God's kingdom, but when trouble comes, the shallow roots that had developed are scorched by the sun. You all know the story. We grew 5 acres of garden as a kid. That was pretty much the food that mom and grandma, they would can, and they would, you know, we ate it all winter long. If we didn't have a good garden, we didn't have good vegetables, we didn't have those kinds of things, right? But my dad made me spend many summer days picking up rocks in the garden to make sure that everything that we planted would have a chance to grow. Because too many rocks, and guess what? The plants would be hindered, right? The heart of this person that we're talking about is one that seems to see the gospel as being attractive when things are good. They believe that responding to the seed of the gospel should result in life being good and blessed at all times. And because of this attitude, they never allow the roots to go deep to be able to withstand the storms of life. The conversations remain shallow. The commitment to Jesus remains shallow. The sacrificial living remains shallow. And when the hard times come, in whatever form they present themselves, someone gets sick or someone doesn't make it, there's a tragedy, their faith wavers. Other seed falls on soil that is full of weeds and thorns. Jesus describes this heart as one that allows the seed of the gospel to grow in their lives, but unfortunately also allows other things to grow in their lives as well. And Jesus actually gives names to these thorns. He calls them the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of money. These are distracted hearts. When Greta and I bought our house in Slanesville, Pennsylvania, when we first moved into this house, it had a beautiful yard. Not a weed in sight. But then we had a really long period of rain. And we weren't able to get out there and keep up with what we needed to do. And almost overnight, it seems that weeds grew up everywhere. How about your flower garden? Do you ever had that? You just have everything so perfect and everything so nice, and then you take a couple of weeks, maybe you don't do anything to it, and guess what? They're full of weeds again. Weeds spring up everywhere. It started a few here and there, and then eventually began to kill the good grass all over the place, and then there was a yard full of weeds in the back. Perhaps in your heart, you've experienced the gospel. It has taken root and it started to grow, but along the way you began to feel your affections and your desire swing away from the kingdom of God to the distractions and things that you value more, like being seen as successful by other people, more money, more stuff. Maybe your latest hobby became more important than taking time to read the Bible or be in relationship with God. Maybe a relationship, a boyfriend or a girlfriend, maybe a grandchild. I don't know what it is. An addiction of some kind. These things begin to receive all of your time and attention until they slowly choke out your relationship with God. But there's one final type of soil that's listed. And thankfully, some seed falls on what the Bible calls good soil. And I don't know about you, but I want my heart to be good soil. For the seed that falls in this location, the result is supernatural. It produces a crop that's 160 and 30 times what is shown. Now, in the ancient Near East, a farmer would be lucky to see an increase of 20 times what he sowed. So when this seed produces 160 and 30 times what is sown, this is not something natural that Jesus is talking about taking place. It's supernatural. It's a thing of God. It's something that He is responsible for. The majority of my father's and my grandfather's time farming was spent making sure the soil was ready to receive the feed or the seed. It was spent making sure the ground was fertile. And remember, the problem was not with the seed. The problem, and it was making sure the ground was fertile. Remember, the problem was not with the seed, it was with the soil. Each year, take the tractor, the plow, the disc, and you pull it through the fields to break up the ground, and you turn it over to expose the fresh soil before they would plant. The good news is that you're not stuck with your current state of soil. I can talk. Some of us recognize that our soil is not in a condition to let God's seed grow, that we need to break up the soil of our hearts, remove some rocks, pull the weeds. For many of us, it's time to try something new to ensure that God has good soil to plant. Maybe it's time to find some godly community, to find a brother or sister in Christ, to spend some time in Scripture, or to dedicate yourself to prayer. Maybe it's time to get involved in serving here at the church or in our community. Maybe it's time to go on a mission trip. Maybe it's time to repent from some kind of sin and receive the grace of God. The fertile heart produces a harvest in us and through us. And what I love the most about this story is that the farmer is incredibly generous with his sowing. The seed falls in every location. I don't think Jesus would tell us this parable without the amazing truth that no matter what the condition of our heart today, God is still casting seed. He's still extending His love and grace. Jesus knows the soil of our hearts can change as we seek Him. He can open our lives before Him and accept the work that He desires to do within us. And so as we close, I want you to reflect on two questions. Two questions. First, what is the condition of the soil in your life? And second, are you ready to turn to Jesus and let Him do the necessary work in your life to help you position yourself to be in a place that the gospel seed can grow? Amen? Let's pray. God, we come to You. We just ask, Lord, that You would just give a burden to us, God, that You would guide and direct us. Give us the wisdom that we need to prepare our hearts, to prepare a place for You, Lord, that You might come and live in our hearts and our minds, that we would be able to follow You and to serve You more faithfully. Amen. As the deacons come forward and as we prepare the table, morning. Everyone should have one of the communion cups, should have gotten those when you came in. But let's sing the old rugged cross and prepare our hearts as we prepare to take communion this morning. The old rugged cross.